Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ty Law on this show earlier, and it appears this morning, Curtis, that the job of Bill Belichick is safe for one more week. Is that right?
Thank God. Linda can avoid filing for unemployment. It's going to be, in all sincerity, like, we all say dumb things. We heard me trying to pronounce breakfast. I had a tough time. Mm-hmm. That thought to then say was sourced by people who have, quote, never steered you wrong, that the head coach of the Patriots, who has won six Super Bowls, job was on the line on an obscure Monday night in Glendale, Arizona. And he said it with conviction. But now it's done. We all go back to our lives, and he'll say something else tomorrow. Like, that removes any credibility because it's so clearly wrong. I mean, Robert Kraft, I'm sure, is not happy or was not happy with how things have been going.
But they, but you can, they, these guys can squirm out of it. It's like when you had Florio on the ropes with regard to the reporting. That reporting was about Mac Jones, right?
Right, and he said, and I quote, "Well, I cover all 32 teams."
Right.
Like, but that's the thing, is whenever you actually get someone on the phone and you have a talented person asking good questions like Greg, you get them in the corner, and then they finally, they submit because, well, what do you want me to say? It wasn't a report, it was an opinion. But if what they stated prior had come to fruition, then they would take credit for having the report. So it's just so frustrating to me because there are a lot of Patriots fans that are not, you know, pajama-wearing, footy pajama guys that can't handle the truth. They want this team to be better, and I think there's been a very adult approach to this season where Patriots fans are happy they're winning, but able to talk about the real issues that are facing the team and precluding them from taking the next step. But people like Bedard saying that Bill Belichick's job is on the line, it takes away the entire sort of just credibility that that part of the world had. Like, that, I will never listen to that guy again when he's talking about the organization because he has an axe to grind and he's wishing things into fruition.
Well, listen, Wiggy, I think Wiggy said earlier he wants both Mac Jones and Matt Patricia gone. I think you feel like that you make the change when it comes to Patricia. You get somebody in here who's done it before, and the result is different next season. Right, Curtis?
Yes.
I mean, I don't... Bill is going nowhere. He clearly, I think, misjudged how quickly Matt Patricia would or would not be able to adapt to that role.
Right.
And so... you change that. I mean, short of Mac Jones demanding some kind of trade or wanting to be gone, I think Curtis is right. Mac Jones is going to be here through the end of his rookie contract.
Bill Belichick is going to have to sort of smooth that out in the offseason because he made a mistake with the Bears game. I think even he would admit it at some point when the tensions are lower. And I think Mac has been pushed away by that. But I don't think it's beyond the point of, I mean, they can still fix it. But I just think the issue facing this team is Bill moving away from all the responsibility, focusing on the defense and the game by game, the in-game coaching, bringing in an offensive mind and helping to shore up the coaching staff to get there to be trust with the quarterback and the play caller.
But it would have to be Bill saying, okay, I made a mistake, Mac.
Yeah.
Right? And is that something Bill is going to do? Because when you look at it, do you think, just your opinion, that Mac Jones feels like he's wanted in New England?
No.
Okay. So if a player doesn't feel that way, and I've been in these situations before, if I don't feel wanted, I do not want to be with that organization.
Right.
I think that's easy to fix, though. I think you can fix that with him.
And I think if anybody can fix it, it's Bill Belichick. But I still think that this might be too far gone.
But how does he
relationship wise?
Right. But how does he fix it? He has to go to Mac.
Why is it too? Is it too far gone because his family left the stadium during that Bears game?
That's point one.
Is it too far gone because the fans were chanting
point
Zappy?
Two? Yeah, I mean, things add up, and this is one season. It's not like, you know, last season people were chanting for the backup. This season your family left. Then, you know, this has all happened in a span of just...
Okay, so maybe you understand the frustration that he feels and why he reacts the way he reacts?
I've said that. I said I can't...
He's got a boob of an offensive coordinator.
Well, he has two boobs, Judge and Patricia.
Yeah, but who brought these boobs in?
Bill did.
Okay, so... Bill might move them elsewhere, right? Or he might even move, let's say, Matt Patricia elsewhere. Now a new coach comes in.
First thing on Bill's offseason to-do list, move the boobs.
Right? And you have to look, how far gone is Mac in his frustration towards the coaching staff, Bill included?
You know Bill better than any of us. So does he ever admit to a player that he made a mistake?
I mean, I listen. I've never seen it. Personally, I think that he might be like, well, you know, maybe we could have did things differently, but he's gonna have to show. Like, when has he ever shown a player like, okay, you're my guy, and I'm willing to, you know, say I was wrong for that? I think he still coaches the way he's always coaches. Mm-hmm. And does Mac say, all right, I'm gonna gut it out and deal with a guy that if I play bad, maybe he benches me, or maybe he treats me different, or maybe, well, think about Gronk and what Gronk used to say. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to be in the meetings and Bill talking about him and highlighting him. And Gronk is one of the greatest tight ends to ever play the game.
But mm-hmm. I think that the leverage still is with the organization here, because Zappe going in and playing well for two games removes the leverage that we may have thought Mac had in mm-hmm. demanding a trade. Because if Mac demands a trade this offseason, the Patriots can say, okay, scream all you want. You're under contract. You're only going to get paid if you show up.
Right.
So I don't think he's going to be traded, especially because he'll be at a diminished
no,
value.
No, I don't know. I'm not saying that he's going to go in there, scream, banging his fist, and they're going to trade him.
So eventually he'll just submit like everybody else.
Well, that's even if he submits, is that going to make him better? Right? Is that going to make him better if he submits?
But at the end of the day, he needs to perform well to make the next big deal, correct?
Yes.
So if he is this guy that looks like a petulant child to the rest of the NFL, then he's only hurting himself.
That's true, but if he's always looking over his shoulder, is that making your team better?
And there's been players that haven't performed great and have gone to a different team, and then we see Baker Mayfield right now.
Yeah, but he's not making any money. He's making minimum.
But still, I'm just saying, I don't think that Mac Jones needs to go out and, you know, have an unbelievable turnaround for him to request a trade and get somewhere.
We just saw Kyler Murray this past offseason get $160 million guaranteed.
$185 or something like
okay.
that.
Okay, and Kyler Murray is not, you know, the second coming of John Elway.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking at a guy who, if Mac performs well, makes the playoffs again, gets to 25 touchdowns, 10 picks, he'll be getting north of $100 million guaranteed. So... If you had told me to do that, I'd say, yes, sir, let me have another.
Well, see, that's the interesting point, Greg.
Yeah.
Bill has to make a decision in the sense of, all right, Mac's going to come to us at one point wanting to negotiate. Mm-hmm. And are we, and obviously Mac has to perform to get to those numbers. Are we willing to pay him, or do we maximize his value? We know Bill loves value, and say, okay, maybe it's better if we trade him.
No, I don't think he's going to trade him. I think he has to deep inside understand that part of Mac's struggles are his fault. I think he's not an idiot.
And you can only look in the division at the change at the top with the Dolphins and the Bills. Josh Allen was drafted. During his rookie deal, they went out of their way to surround him with talent to elevate him, mm-hmm. and now Josh is elevating those other players around him. Same thing with Tua. That's much easier than saying, we'll get the next Mac, no problem.
Right.
I mean, Bill essentially on this show last week acknowledged that the experiment
was not working.
Right.
He didn't say, I think it is working. Mm-hmm. He said it's too late in the season to make a change.
And he acknowledged that they...
I mean, that's what he said. So
he kind of backtracked the next day. Well, he said it wasn't about the play callers. It was about the
period. That was, trying to clean up on aisle six.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that he did the next day try to walk it back.
And he acknowledged that they do need help personnel-wise because there were reports out there that they were in the mix on Chase Claypool when he was getting traded from Pittsburgh.
This is Joe in my adopted home continent of Maine in Portland. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's up?
Nothing much. Longtime Patriots fan. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to say, I think Mac is honestly getting too much of a bad rap. Who wouldn't be frustrated if you have 5 states worth of fans and most of them don't want to support you? I mean, hey, we all watched that Minnesota game. He did great. No one wanted to give the guy his flowers. And then, of course, he does one little slip-up in the Arizona game, and everyone's jumping back to, getting on the guy's case.
Yeah.
Is there room for improvement with him? Absolutely. He's young. But, I mean, he needs the support of the fans because, I mean, obviously he's going to be frustrated. Who wouldn't be?
Preach.
Who wouldn't be?
So,
preach.
I mean,
and absolutely, whoever said Patricia and Joe Judge is a boob, you need more money because they absolutely are boobs. They do not know how to run that offense. You do not call tight end screens on 3rd and 14. You just don't do it. I could call better plays than that in Madden, and I could say that honestly and mean it. You don't call tight end screens on 3rd and 14. Like, any quarterback's going to be frustrated with that. That's just my 2 cents on the opinion, but I think he's getting too much of a bad rap. Could he improve? Yes.
Do you think that this may be an issue, considering he's a defensive coach, that it was always good to have plays stop short of the sticks on 3rd down? Do you think he's calling these plays on offense? Because it's like, okay, 8 yards on 3rd and 9 always was good for Matt, so he doesn't realize that you have to get 10 yards on 3rd and 9.
I think he's using the magic 8-ball.
How many times do they call plays where they're short of the sticks?
Right.
It's the most annoying thing in the world.
Well, I think the defensive coordinator of the team that you were playing suggested this week that essentially all you do is call screens, and then you went out and called 900 screens in that game.
Yeah, it was the most screens they've ever called.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
But how stupid are you as a D coordinator that you can't stop it?
Well, that's the other side of it.
But at the same time, like, you guys are complaining about the screens, but the offense also moved better than it did in that Buffalo game. It moved better than any other game this season outside of the Minnesota game.
See, I'll say
because of all those short passes.
I'll say this, that I'm starting to notice, like, and maybe the screens are a better way to go. Because it just, and maybe this is the whole mental part of the coaches and what they did to Mac this year. He just not as, like, quick decision-making as he was last year.
Okay.
You know, that play, the Hunter Henry play, it was like there was time in the pocket, throw the football. Sometimes you have to throw it to an area where you expect the receiver to be, even though he's not there. We're just not seeing that. That I gave him credit for that last year, is that he was a quick decision-maker and he went through his progressions pretty quick. But this year, he kind of like holds, and yes, I believe it's a combination of the offensive line.
Well, the two of them got him in shotgun all the time. I mean,
I seen Dan Orlovsky tweet that. Orlovsky, whatever. Yeah. Tweet that out. But if you look at a lot of teams, and if you look at the Patriots, a lot of these teams are in shotgun. So
Joe Burrow is in shotgun 95% of the snaps.
Right.
Like, they play specifically from shotgun.
Right, and Mac probably...
I'm surprised you're still allowed to call it shotgun.
Yeah, and Mac probably... You know, if you look at Mac, his college, he was predominantly in shotgun. So I don't really know what Dan was trying to say in that sense, to ask Bill, like, well, put him on the center. Well, it seems like, based on what we know, he wanted to run more of a read option offense. Well, Dan, you're a quarterback. You know when you run read option, you do it out of shotgun.
Can I just issue a brief complaint about the Monday night broadcast?
Yes.
You're making $20 million a year to call 15 games. Maybe just act like you're interested. I know it's not a great game, okay, like whatever, but Joe Buck being too cool for it and Troy Aikman being like, yeah, we saw a lot of these kind of games this year. It's like, you chose to leave Fox. You could have stayed in the primetime game of the week. You went to Monday Night Football because you got a bag of cash. Don't complain about
it. Joe Buck had an interesting interesting contour, too, with his makeup. His makeup was looking flawless last night. He did. He had a contour on his face that I noticed.
On fleek, as the kids say.
Yep.
All right. Coming up, Bill Belichick at 9:30 on a Patriots Monday, which is happening on a Tuesday right now. Courtney, and what is trending?
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Sam Adams Winter Lager. Some sad breaking news. Mike Leach has passed away. His family released a statement saying Coach Mike Leach passed away last night from complications related to a heart condition. He was a giving and attentive husband, father, and grandfather. He was able to participate in organ donation at UMMC as a final act of charity.
Wow, that thing turned quick, didn't it?
Yeah, that is so sad. Yeah. The Patriots, they did win last night, 27-13 in Arizona. We'll talk with Bill Belichick after the break. And later in the day, Matthew Judon and Hunter Henry will talk to Gresham Keefe. And Mac Jones will join MFM between 2 and 6. The Celtics fell to the Clippers last night, 113-93. They face the Lakers tonight, tip at 10. And your Bruins are home. They're back in action as well. They welcome the Islanders to town, puck drop at 7. The holidays are back. That means catching up with friends and family, Thanksgiving, parties, shopping, and trying to sneak breaks from all of it. Sam Adams has you covered with Sam Adams Winter Lager, full-bodied festive flavor and smooth as a sleigh ride. Slay the holidays with Sam Adams Winter Lager. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is currently 29 degrees in Boston, an afternoon high of 37. And according to Laura at Echelon, after the gingerbread house making contest, at 6:30 tonight in the foyer, pin the tail on the liberal.
Oh.
Curtis, will you stop with that? I have to live there.
Well, Greg is a liberal, so we know.
That's right. We did learn that. I'm very left-leaning. All right. Bill Belichick at 9:30. Coming right up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bill Belichick coming up shortly from Arizona on a Patriots Monday, which is happening on a Tuesday. And then Hunter Henry and Matthew Judon with Gresh and Keith during the midday. And Mac Jones this afternoon with Lou and Christian and Mego. Tomorrow or Thursday is Bruins Thursday. I have Bruins tickets to give away during the show on Thursday. Probably do those at 8 because Mike Milbury will join us at 8:20 on Thursday's show.
And the tater tot off.
The starch off.
Starch
Shime,
off.
Shime with real potatoes, his specialty. His homemade mashed.
I am at a natural disadvantage, however. Courtney's are meant to be served like a day later.
Well, Courtney's made hers. She made hers last week.
Yes.
So they are the box. But this is something you guys were talking about Saturday during the Ken and Curtis show without Ken.
Well, yes. They were asking Santo how they went. And okay. Santo backed me 100%.
Of course he did. Of course
yep.
he did.
Mm-hmm. For your first life.
All right. Yep. And then Friday.
Was that a dog collar?
Friday, it is our annual Toys for Tots show, and I hope you'll join us at Bach Exotics on the Auto Mile, Route 1 in Norwood, and bring at least one new unwrapped toy for Santa and for the Marines, who will both be with us on Friday morning. This is Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
What's up?
I wanted to comment on the whole situation with the Patriots offense. And so just hang with me here on this one. So when I watched that last night, I'm pretty sure a lot of people felt the same way. I mean, the whole situation with Mac having to call timeout because the play clock was running down, and he hadn't even got the play into it. They were saying he didn't get the play. Patricia's not getting the play into him. And when you look at the defense is playing pretty well for the most part. Granted, it's not a great team, but still, they're playing disciplined. When you see the offense, the fundamentals of the offensive line, their form, their mechanics, just you look at everybody, every play for a while, it just seemed like nobody knew what they were doing. Max sitting there frantically saying, no, you need to go over there. You need to be here, like trying to get the play off because the play is coming in late. There's absolutely no discipline on that, and the reason why is because whether it be when Matt Patricia was a defensive coordinator here or he was a head coach in Detroit or now, he doesn't command authority. I don't think that anybody looks at that guy and says, I got to play for this guy, because he just seems like there's so much confusion. There's so little continuity when it comes to the play calling, and it's very, very vanilla. All those guys are looking like, what are we doing here? What is going on? And Mac is just expressing that,
yeah,
because he's the leader on the field. And what Mac needs to do is exactly what Ty said earlier. He needs to start asserting himself. And when the play comes in and it sucks, he needs to change the play at the line and at least put these guys in a position where they feel like they've got somebody to go behind.
What are you laughing at, Wiggy?
Yeah, and Ty's also the same person who said when he was in the huddle, it was like reading Chinese. Oh, just go up there and, hey, you know what? Here's what the offense coordinator called. He called a run to the right. You know what? Let's check out of this and run quick game.
So Ty doesn't know what he's talking about.
No.
Because he didn't condone Mac being frustrated.
It's one thing for Teddy Bruschi to be like, you know what? Let's run this defense, right? After Teddy Bruschi has been in the league for 6 years and, you know, was a Pro Bowler and earned the trust of Bill Belichick. It's enough.
So Mac Jones expressing frustration.
Yes.
Would be a good thing for the team if he had been in the league longer. In your mind, it's not a good thing because it's his second season.
You're right, because if you're saying that, if the call is saying, well, Mike was saying they don't respect Matt Patricia as a coach, and then you have your most valuable position, the quarterback, showing him up, how does that help the team?
I also don't necessarily think you need to be somebody who's screaming their head off, angry, scary all the time for players to want to play for you or to respect you.
No, you don't.
I think there are plenty of coaches out there who are, like Mac said yesterday, Matt's very calm and collected. There are a lot of coaches out there that have that, and a lot of people want to play for them.
Right, so, but I understand the frustration. Like, do you think the players respect him as a coach? Offensively.
I don't know to a man that they do.
No.
I mean.
Right. So if they.
You think Kendrick Bourne does? No.
Right. But I'm just saying, as a group, if they don't respect them.
I mean, the whole thing started when Kendrick Bourne was 5 minutes late for a meeting and then he wouldn't play him.
Right.
But
my point is, if you don't respect him and then you show him up and everybody doesn't kind of feels the same way and he doesn't have that like fiery personality, doesn't it kind of look a little weird?
Yeah. All right, I think Bill is joining us momentarily from Arizona. And Bill Belichick on a Patriots Monday is brought to you by Mass General Cancer Center, by Zooty, build any app your company needs in a week, by Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. And he joins us this morning on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are we doing?
Nice win on the road last night.
Yeah, good win for our team. Thought the guys really competed well and, got contributions in all three phases from a lot of different people. Yeah, really good team win.
Bill, did the game plan change dramatically when Kyler Murray got hurt, or was it basically kind of the same game plan with just maybe a little bit different responsibilities because Colt McCoy doesn't have the ability to run like Kyler Murray does?
Right. I think that's about it, Jermaine. They ran their offense, but Colts' skills are a little different than Kyler's. And Colts played well for him this year. You know, they've won with him in there, and he's done a good job with the team. So I know they have plenty of confidence in him. He's been a good player for them this year.
Bill,
he hurt us a few times.
Bill, when it comes to Marcus Jones, he's been awesome recently. When you drafted him, did you realize that he would be able to make such a big contribution so early on and in multiple ways?
Well, we drafted him because we thought he was a good player and would help our team. You know, his path he's traveled this year has been, you know, one of recovering from the two surgeries he had in the off season last year, and then, you know, participating where he could in the spring, and then not until we got into the middle of training camp in the summer. So it's, you know, it's been a progression and process for him. He's worked hard and done all he could the whole way. It's just a question of when you put a load on him. And then when Jack got hurt last night, I mean, he ended up playing almost every snap, I think, on defense after Jack went out. So he ended up with a lot of playing time. But, you know, Marcus is a smart kid. He's in good condition. And we'll see how it goes.
Bill, another guy who looks like they're really taking advantage of their opportunity, who's definitely come a long way, is Josh Uche. What, you know, obviously, what has he shown you this year and just his growth as a player?
Well, the biggest thing with Josh has been availability. He's been healthy. He's been on the field, you know, almost every day in practice. Hasn't missed any time. And unfortunately, in the last couple of years, he's kind of been in and out a little bit with, you know, a week here, a week there, 2 weeks here, a week there kind of thing. And as you know, that hurts the progress of a player. It's hard to get into that rhythm and hard to keep building your fundamentals and techniques and keep improving. Whereas this year, you know, he's been out there every day, and he can work on things that are, you know, fundamental for him, but also some new things, and work with his teammates and the timing and communication, reads, recognition, all that just gets better with more experience, especially for a player in his third year like Josh. So I think that's been the big thing. He's always been a guy that we want to get on the field, and sometimes it's just a question of, you know, how much availability he's had. And this year, his training, conditioning, and knock on wood, health has been really good.
Bill, it looked like Mac Jones may have been expressing some frustration last night during that game when not getting the play in time. Is that something that you like to see from a player?
Well, I mean, we all want to get the plays in on time.
But I mean, from a body language perspective, is that something that that shows the passion there with the player?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bill, defensively, you know, a thing that it seems like you've been able to do week in and week out is get consistent pressure on the quarterback. Have you noticed that it's guys taking advantage of their, you know, we've seen Judon, and, you know, we talked about Uche, but just the front seven in general, you notice, is that guys just winning their individual matchups week in and week out?
I think it's number one, it's usually a factor of the score, and you really have to, you know, earn the right to rush the passer in this league. You know, so you just don't start off the game rushing the passer. You've got to stop the run. And if you can get ahead and make it a one-dimensional game, then that increases and highlights the opportunities for pass rushers to rush. There's just more passes, and they're more known situations. So, Obviously, some of it is good pass rush and good technique and winning one-on-one matchups and fundamentals. But also part of it is, you know, opportunity and situation. And it works in reverse the other ways when you have to throw on every down because you're in long yardage or you're behind in the score, then that makes it a lot harder to pass protect and throw the ball against a good pass rushing team. So, the rush is the rush. It is what it is, but opportunities and situations have a lot to do with things like stats and pass rush numbers. And they also have a lot to do with, you know, sometimes the numbers you give up defensively in the passing game, because you're ahead and they're throwing the ball more and, you know, you may be winning, but, you know, the yardage is, you know, could increase a little bit compared to normal situations. So it's just, you know, some of it's situational football, and that's, I think you have to take that into account.
Bill, take it on the Raiders this Sunday. How has it been this season adjusting to life without Josh McDaniels leading the offense?
Well, we've been in situations like that for many years where somebody in the organization, assistant coaches, personnel directors, college pro scouts, or scouting coordinate directors, all those, you know, when those people move on to better opportunities, which, you know, I'm personally happy for them to when they get those opportunities, and it works out for them and their families, then we move on. And fortunately, we have a lot of people in the organization who are have been here a while, who have experience, who have gained experience, whether, you know, that's how Josh moved into his role initially. So whatever the situation is, we're ready for whatever changes come and we adapt to them. I think that's, you know, every team in the league has changes on their staffing and from year to year. That's pretty common. And certainly we've had, you know, our share, more than our share. But that's football. It's the NFL.
Bill, when Devontae Parker went down, it seemed like it took longer than normal for anybody to realize something was wrong. I think it was Nelson Aguilar and the ref that had to flag somebody down on the sideline. What was going on the sideline in your point of view while that all happened?
What do you mean, what was going on the sideline?
Well, usually just there's usually a spotter that can tell if a player is bobbling or not walking straight. So I was just wondering why it took longer than normal for a coach to realize something was up.
Well, I think when those plays happen, the player on the field and his teammates around him, because they're right there next to him, usually have a better idea of the player's, how he's doing, compared to somebody that's, you know, 30, 40 yards away. So, so that's, you know, there's a little bit of a timing there. You're talking about seconds that are taking place. And, you know, if you're sure that there's something wrong, then you address it, and the player should address it right away. If it's, you know, get a hit and stun you for, you know, a second or two, and then everything, you know, pops back into normal, then, you know, that happens out there plenty of times too. I mean, I don't think you want people running on the field after every play. So, but, you know, ultimately, I think the players made the right decision, and I'm not sure if how much of it was us, how much of it was the spotter. You know, a spotter called down on Devin later in the game. That's the process.
Bill, spending the week in Arizona, I assume, and then heading to Vegas?
That's right.
Okay.
Bill, when you look at some of you, and I know you had made brief mention, they were talking about this on the broadcast, just about being a little bit more consistent, especially in the red zone. When you think about, like, maybe some of the creativity or just the consistency, what do you feel like you guys need to do better as a coaching staff offensively to maybe obviously put the offense in a better position where you're able to come away with touchdowns rather than field goals?
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing in the red area on third down always is execution. There's less space. It's tight. And you know, defense has less space to defend, and the offense, you know, has to find a way to get the ball in the end zone. So it comes back to execution, and that's really for everybody. I think we were, 2 for 3 last night or something like that. I'm not sure. Ran the ball in, so that's always a good thing if you can run the ball in.
All right, Bill. Thanks for taking the time this morning, and we will talk to you again next week.
Okay, great. Sounds good. Have a good week.
All right, thank you. There he is, Bill Belichick. I'm trying to bring him back with the Arizona thing. It may have been too late, though. I mean, I don't know what to
Excellent
say.
Excellent question from Courtney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super upbeat when he's
sweating.
When
I
you
just
say
don't
hello
understand.
And goodbye.
It's like my voice starts, and if Wiggy had asked that question, he'd be like, well, Wiggy, you know, it's really hard. You've been there. On the field, we can't really see everything, and, you know, I wish we could. Me, it's like, well, what do you mean? Yeah. I don't know. I was watching on TV 100 miles away, and I saw it pretty clear.
You're almost there's like no, the...
But there's nothing better than letting the pause hang there.
That... You're the female version of Lou from last year.
No, I don't want. He did it. He hated Lou. I don't want to be hated. I respect the guy more than anything. I just want him to listen to me, hear me out, and give me a good answer.
How long? There were double pauses on the Mac Jones body language question, and they hung for a good 40 or 50 seconds.
Like those pauses, I feel like my life shortens by a month.
Right.
Each second.
My dad said he holds his breath the entire time after I ask him.
And he's always like, when you ask him a question for you, he's always like
his tone changes
and it changes. He's like, what do you mean?
I don't understand. I'm not out to get him. I think he is the greatest of all time. I've always supported him. I don't understand.
Because what was the question you asked him where he was like, well, I don't know what you're trying to ask me there?
It was about Devontae Parker.
Oh my lord.
Bill, it looked like Mac Jones may have been expressing some frustration last night during that game when not getting the play in time. Is that something that you like to see from a player?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
Well, I mean, we all want to get the plays in on time.
But I mean, from a body language perspective, is that something that that shows the passion there with the player?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
Yeah, I don't know.
He's got 5 seconds more to answer than Mac has to throw the football.
Hey, by the way, maybe that's why the plays don't come in on time.
I do feel bad for Courtney.
God.
That's Bill on a Patriots Monday. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Pretty good, Sean. Maybe not as good as the Jackson Mac Jones hello mashup that he did.
I
don't think we played.
Have we played it?
I don't think we played it on the show yet.
I don't think I've heard it.
You haven't heard it?
No,
I haven't heard it.
God love, you know, God bless Jackson.
I want to hear this.
Jackson works very, very hard for this program.
Yes.
And so, Jackson, you want to, I guess we could end the show with that.
I got it ready if you want it.
You do? Curtis.
I'm nervous.
This is good work by Jackson. What are you laughing about?
I'm not. I just everything about Jackson I find so funny.
You do?
I really see a lot of my former self in him.
He's an earnest young man. he's an earnest young man who looks like he's 50.
All right, hold on. He's unique.
Here's a piece of production that Jackson put together.
Yes, hello. Is it me you're looking for? Hello.
It's me.
Hello.
I love you, won't you tell me your name?
Yes, hello.
I love you, let me jump.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Good job,
like
Jackson.
Big Jack, I see you.
I like it.
I like that.
Yeah. He's like a DJ back there.
Yeah.
Oh, my face.
Well done, Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Guy's going places.
Yep.
All right.
I can't wait for the, what is it, the potato cook-off?
Yep.
So then.
That's Thursday, right? That's not tomorrow.
No, but then.
Correct. Thursday.
Remember, one of you got it. Give the other one a question to ask for Bill.
I'm so far
gone. If Shime wins, Bill, Shime's got to come up with a great question.
I'm so far gone that it doesn't even matter anymore.
And by the way, Monday morning, Greg Hill out. Jackson will ask a question of Bill Belichick.
Ooh, okay. All right. You just send Bill another handwritten thank you note at the end of the season. Everything will be fine.
Yeah.
I say a thank you text.
Text.
Yeah,
you'd be like, who gave this lady my number?
No, that's all right. Say,
no,
listen.
I
make it a little bit more intimate.
I love the guy. You know, he keeps me on my toes.
That he does.
Yeah.
All right. It's a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. Hunter Henry and Matthew Judon coming up next sometime with Gresh and Keith and Mac Jones this afternoon with Lou and Mego and Courtney. And thank you very much for listening. Thank you for watching the show on Twitch. We are back tomorrow morning at 6.
I'll be honest with you, I'm exhausted. I want to go home, put the feet up, drink a beer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.